This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes, it's Metallica, Enter Sandman. So good. Are you guys broadcasting from the toilet? There's a terrible echo from Raj. Well, Raj, that's because your phone speaker is probably in the toilet. No, it's the same settings we use all the time, Raj. So I'm sorry. Might be on your side. Let me see what else we got here. A lot of people saw our office curling that we put up on Instagram and Twitter yesterday, and they thought that Ben was very, very good, that I was shit at using the broom. So a lot of people criticizing my use of the curling broom.
Let me just say, that was a one take, yeah?
Yeah.
There were no rehearsals.
There was no rehearsals. That was a one take wonder.
Someone said, I still don't understand why curling has its own channel. Does it have its own channel?
Not really. It's just that it's on so long, it basically dominates the channel.
Oh, okay. Someone says, I can't wait for Friday. I'm going to pop in at Lifestyle Garden Center while Jonty is on to see the grandparents' expressions while he's doing the sex show.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be talking about stamens instead of semens.
Can you imagine? So, you know, every Friday here we have a pretty crazy lineup of people, and it gets a little bit insane. We've got the Just Now Comedy Podcast. We've got Sex Talk, Casper Radio Show, the O'Neill Africa Experience, Millennial Gen, and even Aria Kalman. But this week, we're doing it differently. We're going outdoors to enjoy the summer. And we've got a lineup of incredible comedy, celebs, music, and a whole lot more. We will be broadcasting live from the Lifestyle Home Garden Center this Friday. And that includes all of those shows. The Lifestyle Home Garden Center has all kinds of exquisite plants, garden, and home decor, as well as accessories, hardware, and tools. If you want to know more, you can listen to yesterday's podcast. We had Robin in here. She's the marketing boss from there, and she told us all about, she helped Ben understand what he could grow on his balconies. She tried to talk Mubs into keeping at least a snake plant alive. She said, if you can't do that, you really are just poisonous to life. And she said, all right, she'll give it a try. What the hell? So you can come along and meet us, say hi. And we've got a team of passionate experts, creatives, and enthusiasts there to help create the kind of environment where you come to feed your soul. Visit Cliff Central and everybody who comes along, you can meet some of the other people there too, at the Lifestyle Home Garden Center in the corner of Bayes Nordea Drive and Asteroid Avenue in Rand Park Ridge this Friday. Nice. Ta-da! So there we go. To answer your question, yes, Jonty will be there and he will be talking about sex while all the grandparents are shopping for plants. It'll be fascinating. Someone said, it would be funny to see Gareth Cliff carrying a 2-liter tweezer bottle of petrol running. With petrol running out. Okay, so they said the mighty Gareth Cliff with 2 liters of petrol. Well, I admitted this morning I almost ran out of petrol, so that would be funny to see me running down the road with a 2-liter with petrolo in it. I woke up this morning to sad news that Ilse Schumann, one of South Africa's most talented pianists who lived in Vienna and performed worldwide, committed suicide yesterday. No. Most people might not know of her, but I had to pay tribute to this amazing school friend of mine. She was at school with me in Stellenbosch. She rose to fame in the world of pianists, and we are all very, very sad. I admired her hugely. I'm thinking of her sisters and the rest of her family today. That's from R in Cape Town. That's very sad. I've got to be honest, I don't know much about the world of pianists, but if we had a great pianist and she was in the world doing her thing and she's no longer there for whatever reason, you know, suicide, this is something that you can never understand unless you're the person who's in that situation in their life where they decide that that's the best way for them to go. And I don't judge. I've never judged. I think suicide is something so complicated.
Yeah,
I'm not one of those people who says that, oh, that's the coward's way out. I think that's an awful thing to say. I'm also not one of those people who says it's a great idea, because I don't know. It's entirely the business of the person and the family of that person. So I'm very sad to hear that too, for what it's worth, even though I had no idea that we had this brilliant person, Ilse Schumann. And I'm sorry for her family. Are you guys broadcasting from someone else's toilet maybe, says Raj. No, Raj, I've answered this already. We've dealt with this. The Chinese are already working on teleportation, Ben. So get ready.
Yeah, because they know what to do with their criminals. We've been through this before. They make them build bridges, and now they're going to teleport them.
Someone says, curling is the business. Ben, thank you for talking about this. Please help explain the shoes that these athletes use for curling. Thank you, boys and girls. That's B in Cape Town.
Okay, you know what? In 4 years' time, in the next Winter Olympics, I think there's going to be a curling podcast. Each week, we'll have a different sort of aspect of it.
Because curling becomes even more thrilling when you can't see it and you can only hear about it. Okay, in the next evolution of curling fun, in the next evolution of curling fun, we're going to tell you what's happening. We're going to describe the curling.
Yeah, and I'll be getting Skype interviews with curlers from around the world.
Describe in detail that time you won the curling, Ivan.
Do you know that there was once a curling nude calendar?
No. No way. Everything will be perky as hell if you're curling nude. Yeah. You won't benefit
Tell
the dudes
me more.
At all.
Hot woman of curling. There was a nude calendar. I'm not making this stuff up. Google it. Seriously, the woman curlers did a whole nude calendar.
I must have like the world's best player award, like the kettle d'or.
And the every kettle d'or.
Like, who's the Lionel Messi of curling? And is there like a Cristiano Ronaldo of curling that competes? It's this big rivalry. I want to be like a massive fan. It's like, I want to pick a team and support them.
Shut up, Gord. You're an asshole. All right, curling let's move on.
Super curling.
All right, stop it. I've got to bring this to order. It's ridiculous. Someone says, you guys have been talking about Chance the Rapper all week. Here's a random fact about him. Chance the Rapper offers all his music for free. He doesn't believe in selling music. Did you know this, Mubs?
No.
He offers his music for free, so he makes all his money from tours and selling merchandise. And he doesn't actually sell the songs. You can get them for free.
Well, I mean, in a world where most of us don't want to pay for anything anyway and we download it illegally, I suppose...
That's quite smart, I think. Aren't there other bands who also are offering their music for free?
Yeah, or like you can pay what you want to pay. You go onto like Bandcamp or whatever and you can pay. Yeah, you can get it free or make a donation. But it's actually interesting as a business model, because for a long time, musicians, what they would get paid for what they actually do for a job was completely overinflated. You could be like Chumbawamba and have Tub Thumping as your one single ever and make millions from it. Mm. You know, it was just this, it was overinflated. And then they would make an album and then go on a tour to market the album so they could make millions and millions of dollars from the album.
Right.
Now you make an album and you have to go and play shows. And it's like, oh no, in order to make a decent living as musicians, we have to play shows all the time. It's like, yep, that's same as to be an accountant. You got to do accounting all the time. You can't just do it once.
Yeah.
But, you got to then have a decent live performance. You've got to have merch. You've got to have like lots of views on your YouTube video. You've got to be able to monetize everything around your music.
What's so cool for some people who had that benefit of being around in the 1980s, for example, when music was flying.
And the 90s,
When you could sell millions of albums.
Yeah.
Someone like Madonna, okay, she's still making the most money out of anyone touring at the moment. She made more money last year than anyone else, including that irritating Taylor Swift. Mm. She made the most money touring, and she sold all those albums in the 80s. So I don't think you're ever going to have musicians as rich as the likes of Michael Jackson and Madonna and those people who were big in the 80s and 90s, because they hit that golden patch.
But they had to do it for long as well.
Oh, yeah, sure. And you had to obviously have real talent, and you had to have great songs and huge fan bases and all the rest of it. So whatever it's worth, however that magical algorithm seems to have churned out people like Madonna and Michael Jackson.
U2, Metallica.
Exactly. Those people benefited the most from what the music industry had to offer. We will never have musicians as rich as that ever again.
Yeah, you need the perfect combination of a very successful back catalog, a massive fan base garnered over years and years and years of success, and then being able to play the type of music that lends itself to arena tours. Because even the giant rappers, like, there's very few. Eminem, I know Jay-Z's done a couple. There's not a lot of, like, rappers that can actually just, the format suits playing an arena, you know? So it's a whole lot of factors, but you become a squillionaire a lot easier if you're good in the 90s or 80s than if you are now.
Well, that's why a lot of them are making the bulk of their money through other avenues, not music. They all have makeup lines. They all have a clothing line. They're all buying sports teams. They all, you know,
yeah,
buying or making alcohol brands. They're all mm-hmm. making their money from everything else.
Look at Dre with his headphones.
Yeah,
look
but, at, yeah. Well, look at P. Look Diddy at all and his of alcohol. Them. Every single one of them are now aligned to a brand or have a brand outside of music.
Yeah. But they're the ones who already have big established brands. What happens now, like all of these shithead mumble rappers, Little Dick Face, whatever, they get like hundreds of millions of views on their YouTube video. Mm. And if you've got a YouTube... any YouTube content that gets into the tens or hundreds of millions of views, you start making significant money.
Exactly. They're monetizing YouTube.
They don't
channels.
Sell any yeah. records. They don't have much of a clothing line, etc. They're 19 and all they really do is endorse Xanax. But their videos get like hundreds of millions of views.
But that's just because the environment that they're operating in has changed and they've had to adapt.
Sure.
I mean, once upon a time, it was a big deal buying CDs. Yeah. And then when they all realized that, oh shit, we're actually not going to make money from this, they needed to change the environment yeah. and they needed to adapt.
And it goes to the point I think Gareth was making just now of like, okay, you're not going to sell your music. You're going to use your music to promote the thing you do sell.
Right. Well, that's Chance the Rapper. So I know we're bringing him along with Castle Light out to South Africa, so you get to see him. You can book your tickets, by the way, at Compy Ticket right now.
That's rad.
Yeah. Castle Light Unlocks. It's something that O'Neill has been involved in from the get-go. He was there at the announcement, and I think a lot of people excited about that. Just quickly, I was on the floor watching that curling clip that you played earlier, but I am loving Ben's curling updates, says someone else. It's amazing how people are just in love with curling.
It also, needs to go like full mainstream.
Also, how I can resonate with my audience. There's also that. You people, you never give a compliment to
I thought my Ben was kidding. Stuck.
I thought Ben was kidding about the Belters of Curling calendar. It's a real
nice
thing,
yeah.
And the curling ladies are properly something to be reckoned with.
There's also Men of Curling calendar.
Sure, it has to be equal opportunity like that, or it's sexist. But Hotties of Curling, underneath those tracksuits, curlers are ripped and voluptuous, let me tell you.
Yeah, and the men curlers, they're not just fat slobs, they
I was going to ask, are they in good shape, these curlers?
You can Google Men of Curling calendar.
They ice skate while bending forward. There's got to be an abs situation going on there.
Guys, curling is it's not just, you know, it's amazing.
I wanted to ask a quick one to you, GC. Do you have a CD collection still? What do you do? Do you still do CDs?
I'm so glad you asked, because you know
I'm so glad you asked too. Mubs, should you get a coffee?
Yeah. I actually need to get my charger. So.
All right. Okay. Ben and Mubs are excused. I'll talk to Gordon about
this.
And anyone who's not interested, just fast forward through this part of the podcast. All right?
About 40 or 50 minutes.
Well, this is like a choose your own adventure.
I'm actually interested because I'll tell you what I did with my CDs.
So I have
you.
Way too many.
Yeah.
And they're taking up too much space.
How many? Estimate.
Thousands.
No, more than 1,000. Many of thousands.
More than... You see, what happened when we were DJs back in the 90s.
You got given everything.
And the 2000s, they would sample us. So
I got that at FHM as well.
I was explaining to my sister, who thought this was ridiculous, that I had so many CDs. I explained to her once that you'd have a record company person pitch up at the radio station. And they would say, this is an album from a band that's doing really well in the States at the moment. You need to listen to track 5 and 7.
Yes.
And of course, you just throw it in a box and take it home and never listen
to it. Morgan Ross, Chris Behrens, Mike Pocock, those awesome guys from the record cover, Kevin Mdubeki.
And they would drop off all these CDs and you'd listen to one or two. And if you got one that you recognized, you'd be like, oh, cool. And you'd get back catalog stuff too, because they'd want you to play that. And because DJs used to be able to decide what music they played. So anyway, the fact is, you end up with these huge amounts of music. So I've decided to clear out.
But you had to learn to chuck, even back then, because I got the FHM deliveries, very similar thing. And I knew very quickly that you, because this was a thing you used to spend a great deal of your allowance on. It was treasured. A CD was an amazing thing to have.
And remember,
and once you start getting too many, you get trapped by it.
100 or 200 rand a CD back in those days was a lot of money.
But you had to learn to say no. So you ended up, you say you've got thousands. Yeah, plural.
So I've cleared out. So I've got 5 or 6 boxes of CDs. And I've got this one friend who, God forgive him, I don't know why, but he loves 90s and 2000s dance music.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of those.
Yeah.
So I've just said to him,
bump.
I said to him, I'm going to drop these boxes off at your house. When you have gone through, when you've gone through them and decided what you want to keep, the rest you must give to charity or find some place that you can just don't just throw them away.
No, sure. What I did was I put all of the back cover and the booklet in the front and the CD in a sandwich bag. And then I got rid of all the jewel cases. And what I had, which wasn't thousands, I mean, I had maybe 300-400, and they all fit into about 4 shoe boxes like that.
Okay.
Yeah, so then I keep them in the cupboard because one day but I would also like, I listen to a lot of not so mainstream stuff, so you'd have to order it on the internet in the end, but initially from CD stores. And so you're going to one day want to keep those things, but they take up so much space. And like having a DVD collection is also such a waste of time these days.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if my DVD player plays half the DVDs I got because they're region one or
I have a DVD player, but I honestly can say I haven't used it in probably 6-7 years.
So it's time to tidy up and throw out.
In an environmentally responsible way.
Yeah. I'm not saying just chuck it. All right. There's more important stuff to discuss. There's lots of news. Still got to get to that Monsieur Lakota clip, which I said I'd play for you. We got the interview we did with DJ's Boo that's coming up at 8 o'clock. So let's get cracking. Mubs, what do you got?
We have a gangster story.
Oh.
Yeah.
A Cape Flats gangster or rich, fast cars and lots of women gangster?
It's not Cape Flats gangster, Ben. No. Oh. It is a Bulgarian man who was found executed with his wife in Cape Town's southern suburbs. Yes. Well, more information is being unveiled or revealed about these two. They were facing trial for cloning hundreds of bank cards, right? Angelo Dimov, he was arrested back in 2013 already after cards which were cloned in Zambia were used to withdraw cash in Cape Town. He was facing fraud charges at the Bellville Commercial Crimes Court.
Wow.
Now, Dimov and his wife, who was a cake artist, Nessie Piva.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, now how do you like it now, huh?
Well, I don't like it, Ben. I don't like it one bit.
Guys laughing at my pronunciations.
They were murdered at their home earlier this month, February the 12th, in what authorities are saying looks like a professional hit.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Wow. So back in 2008, the Bulgarian and a Serbian, Dijan Kistic, they were arrested on bank fraud.
Excuse me? She's doing what?
Dijan Kistic were arrested on bank card fraud charges in the Western Cape town of Mariesburg. The men were allegedly connected to an international card fraud syndicate running their operation from the southern suburbs, where Dimov and his son were arrested with another Bulgarian, as well as 4 other South Africans. You know those emails, or rather those messages that you would get on WhatsApp, or those emails that warn you about what to do or what not to do when at an ATM?
Yes.
Well, these guys built sophisticated card reading devices. They're known as high-techs, which they placed over ATMs. And these were often fitted alongside pinhole cameras, which film customers when inputting their PIN codes.
Pretty sure that's how I got shagged when I lost all my money to ATM fraud. The banks wouldn't give any of it back and I had to sell my house.
You lost all your money.
You just withdrew it all and you don't remember.
No, I got fully bank frauded. Eventually, I just ran out of money to borrow and overdraft and all the rest. They took all my money. I had an access bond. They spent it in places I'd never been to. So I had witnesses to say I was at work while places I've never been to, like tens of thousands of rands of suits and appliances and a macro in another province. But they wanted me to prove that I was not in collusion with the unknown parties who had committed the crimes. So I was like, I can't prove wasn't involved with the people. We don't know who they are. And then the ombudsman told me after months of being told I wasn't going to get my money back that I had a great case, but they would start looking into it in 9 to 13 months. And I just didn't have enough money to not have any money. So I sold my flat.
Hectic.
This was in about 2006 or 2007.
Jesus God.
Yeah, and I still. And then years later, 2 years later, they said to me, "Would you?" I signed a settlement with them eventually that I got possibly a quarter of what I'd lost back. In order, and they said, "Cool." There was no further legal recourse for me. But then a year or two after that, they asked me. They said they'd caught the guy who did it, and they were prosecuting him. Would I like to come and be a witness in their court case against this guy? I'm like, oh, so you found the person who stole the money. You know that I was telling the truth. I no longer have any recourse to any money, but you'd like me to come help you at your court case? Like, no, I'm busy. But yeah, I probably lost all in all a total about 150 grand, 200 grand. And when you're 25 with a bond.
Devastating.
Yeah, when you're 25 or 26 with a bond, It's not...
There was no...
Nope. The ombudsman did say that I had a really good case, but that it would take about a year to start investigating because they had a backlog. And they were like, cool. Took them three months to tell me they'd read my letter and that they thought I had a decent case and they'd hear it in... Yeah, anyway, so these dudes are assholes. The bank don't always, and then a good friend of mine, just to finish quickly, a very good friend of mine, the identical thing pretty much happened to him like 3 months later, and the same day his bank were like, cool, yeah, we're insured against this, fill in this form, you'll have your money back in a week.
Oh, is that the difference?
The bank woman that I dealt with just decided, you probably helped the criminal, so no.
No, but hang on. I mean, the fact that he was insured against something like is that the fine print?
No. Just the same exact thing. ATM card duplication or whatever. They somehow duplicate your card. They run around with a card that works like yours, swiping money. They waited for payday, transferred all the money out of the Access Bond into my current account, and then swiped for a whole day, like tens and tens of thousands of rand. 150,000 rand.
These guys' operation, according to reports, it was quite widespread. I mean, it extended into different parts of the continent. And then earlier this month, on the 12th of February, they found him and his wife, who had been shot in the forehead, possibly with silencers. And the wife's body was actually found in the garden of their home.
My God.
Yeah, I know I'm speculating here, but she probably knew nothing about this. She was making cakes and she thought, married good man. And then...
That's exactly right.
Turns out he's actually this guy who gets murdered.
Gangster vibes, man. You know if you get involved with that, it's not just your own... You're not just risking your own well-being. A proper hardcore gangster vibes, they'll kill the people you know. That's so scary.
Yeah, people you know and love.
Wow, I'm just reeling from like Gord's story about losing 200,000 rand when you're a kid. Yeah, basically
25 or 26.
That initial feeling when you discover what's happened, I'm sure it's like you feel like you want to vomit.
Yeah, it was payday, and I was working at FHM, and it was payday, and you got paid kind of at midnight, and I smoked at the time. So on the way to work, I stopped at the shop, I bought a pack of cigarettes and a beverage and some chewing gum, and swiped my card, and it worked, and it was like cool, you know, hey, I've been paid, I've got money again, and. Yeah, on the way home from work, I tried to buy something. It was like decline. I went to the ATM. It was like, you have 11 rand and 14 cents in your account. I'm like, what? Next day, checked it out. And yeah, the story has already been told.
Wow. That's horrible.
Good old Ned Bank with their helpful customer service.
Actual gangsters in Cape Town. Not like the run-of-the-mill garden variety. We're talking about like Bulgarian high-tech gangsters.
Probably played curling as kids and weren't good enough to make the pro teams, so turned to crime.
now they're curling hooligans in their spare time.
Fixing curling betting.
Is there curling betting? Sure there must be.
I'll look into it. I'm sure
people
there is.
Will bet on anything, eh?
I wouldn't not bet on curling.
Super Brew, like you suggested, Ben. Start the first Super Brew curling application.
Can I play this Monsieur Lakota clip yesterday? I think he did it yesterday. I'll check the date now. But he's the leader, obviously, of COPE. And he was talking about the whole land issue. And he was debating, obviously, the SONA addressed by the president. And I thought he made a lot of sense. You know, very little sense comes out of Parliament most of the time. He did this on the 19th of February, so it's 2 days ago. Take a listen.
President, congratulations on your elevation to the high office. Honourable President.
Honourable members, the member has not even started speaking.
We also add.
Order, please.
We also add our voice of appreciation for you announcing the century of Nelson Mandela.
Speaker, Chair.
And Albertina Sisulu.
Chair. Sorry, Honourable. Yes, Honourable Member, please take your seat, Honourable Member.
I'm saying Honourable that the point of order, Chair, we did not hear Honourable Lekota when he was congratulating the President. His voice was very low. We thought he can raise his voice proper.
I think the President heard me, Speaker. We also add our voice to the appreciation of you announcing the century of President Mandela and Albertina Sisulu. These are two of the giants of our history from whom we learned a lot and to whom we are extremely...
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right. Listen, this is a long clip, and for some reason, it's going to take forever. I don't know what the hell's happening here. It's also full of ads, which is so annoying on YouTube these days. I'm going to find the right piece and cut it out. I can't wait all day for this. He basically addresses the issue of the EFF's biggest issue at the moment, which is land, and he talks about it very sensibly. He gets heckled to pieces by the ANC and the EFF, but he makes the most sense out of anybody on that matter. So I would encourage anyone to just look it up, and I'll cut it up and clean it up and play it for you tomorrow.
Yeah, we must discuss this, because I think it's just
it's a zero issue. Most people actually do not want huge tracts of farmland. They don't want to live on a farm in the Northern Cape. Right. 90% of people in this country do not want to do that. That's why the Northern Cape has the smallest percentage of population in South Africa and the most land. Land is not what everybody's after. What people basically want is an opportunity to improve their lives. Yep. And there are some people who just want free stuff. And most of the EFF's talk is about free stuff. It's got nothing to do with issues of land or expropriation without compensation. It's just a means to get attention.
Completely. And it's also just a motive for farm murders, I believe, as well. Because now you're thinking this land without any sort of appropriation, then it's like, okay, well, we can go kill these people as well.
That's a whole other issue.
It's a whole other issue, but I mean, it's basically no one likes to talk about it, but it's happening.
All right. What else is in the news?
People talk about it just within their own circles.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Where shared opinions then run as echo chambers. That's where it gets spoken about.
Precisely. Spot on.
Yeah.
All right. What else is going on?
Well, let's get another reminder of when humans do dumb stuff. Oh. So remember yesterday I was telling you about how there is a KFC crisis in the UK. Like 100 KFC stores had to be shut down.
They ran out of chicken.
Well, they didn't get their chicken delivered, Gareth. And it's a big problem because, 100 stores being shut down. Like they weren't able to service people. It was an entire mess. And, you'd think, oh, okay, like, fine, we're not getting KFC today. That's okay. But then why are people going to the extent of phoning the police? Because this is now what is happening in parts of the UK, is there have been reports of people phoning the police to lodge complaints and to stress the fact that they have not been able to get their KFC.
Well, that tells you a lot about KFC customers.
I can't. But why? Why do people
We've heard those clips of those people who pull up to the takeaway drive-throughs, and then they lose their shit because they don't have like potato chips or whatever. They've run out of coleslaw, and someone will have a temper tantrum and break the window and throw rocks and get out of their car and they'll hoot.
Yeah,
and they'll behave like children because they couldn't get their, I don't know, mayonnaise. Mm. Extra mayonnaise.
That extends to also like Saint and Sharon's at the Woolworths that like either have to queue for too long and it's outrageous, or they don't have like gluten-free caviar from the right country. Mm-hmm. And they take it super personally. That's something that you got to learn in life, I think, is like those kind of things, circumstantial problems and shortages and whatever that have nothing to do with you, don't take them personally.
So, of course, as is the case in modern day living, every issue must be dealt with on Twitter. And so Tower Hamlets Metropolitan Police Service was actually forced to tweet after they could no longer handle the reports that were coming in. No, they actually took to Twitter to say, guys, please stop calling us to report your lack of KFC problems.
It's amazing, like, the 1+1=3 mindset that a person has to have to go, I can't have KFC. This is clearly a crime.
Yes.
Let me phone the police.
Let me phone the police.
That's unbelievable.
Because clearly they're going to be able to fix it.
Or at least bring to justice the people responsible.
Ben, these are the kind of people who also spit in footballers' ears.
Completely, Earth. Yeah, completely.
You reckon there's an overlap here?
Yep.
We should test the beaming technology on the KFC tweeters.
Yeah, I just say KFC's on the other end of this passage, and they go, okay, I'm in, and then you beam them. It's free. Somewhere.
I've often thought that there might be merit in setting up a meat grinder, and you disguise it as the entrance to the KFC. And
fully snorted into the microphone. I apologize.
And people will walk in thinking they're going to get free buckets of KFC and they'll be ground up.
Any fast food, man, if you make it free. You don't even have to be fast food if you make any shit free.
Yeah. Aren't those nuggets ground up anyway? Yeah. I mean, what goes into nuggets,
clip.
Guys?
There's a clip on the internet and you can Google it and it's right there. It's Jamie Oliver doing this whole thing about our food not being right and we don't eat correctly. And he's got a bunch of preschool kids and he takes them through the process of making a McDonald's nugget and he shows them like it's the skeleton and the cartilage and the extra fat and he puts all the shit in a blender in front of them and the kids are watching and then this paste comes out and he mixes in all the other things and he uses the cookie cutter and he ends up with a nugget and he fries it and whatever and he goes, now after seeing that, hands up if you still would eat this. And all the kids' hands shoot in the sky and he gets this look of utter defeat on his face. Just go, Jamie Oliver, kids' nuggets, and it will make you so happy. All of them are like, I want. Now nuggets are the best.
So, okay, that's funny. I don't think I've ever had a nugget. I'm not being funny. I don't think it's something I've had. Obviously, what do they call them? Big Macs and all the rest.
Should be called an ingot.
So you eat them.
I try my best to avoid them, but I have tried them and they're amazing.
If someone put all that shit in a blender in front of me and showed me how it was made, like you've just explained, even if I watch that YouTube video, which I will, I'm not touching those things. Not that I have before, but I'm never going to touch them. They put all the shit in there, basically.
Yeah, they take the actual skeleton, the carcass, the offcuts, anything that the
gizzards.
Yeah, other than feathers, whatever else is left.
Other than feathers.
Yeah.
So it's the same procedure that is used
and they
for
liquefy it.
Sausages.
Exactly.
Rosso.
They liquefy it into a slime, and then they chuck in some herbs and spices, and a bit of this and a bit of that, and some other additives to give it flavor. Slime. And then they spread it out like a pizza dough, and they take like a cookie cutter thing of the various kind of shapes. And they then take those and they fry them. And they're delicious as hell. And if you want to go get the McDonald's one, I recommend the jalapeno dip. It's
the best. Stop it. It's disgusting. Oh, I can see the
parts of the same animal.
You wouldn't eat that.
How's eating a thigh muscle any worse than eating neck fat or an eyeball?
Or a gizzard.
Yeah, it's all part of the same beast. If you eat some of the beast, eat all of the beast.
That's a decent point, Gord. I don't want to subscribe to this, but you're actually making a very good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's the...
Who's to say it? A thing you should be eating.
You know, it's the same argument as, well, in one part of the world, the cow is sacred, and then in another part of the world, like,
and some
dogs are
love,
pets and not lunch.
Some people love eating internal organs. I don't like liver. I don't like kidneys because I find the texture and the taste a bit gross. But the principle of eating internal organs doesn't bother me. It's just not for me.
Mm.
Like, some people love to eat heart. You can buy ox heart and go eat a heart. I'm not keen on it, but it's all just animal.
Testicles are a delicacy somewhere in the world.
I eat the soft, squishy end of chicken bones.
It's all marketing.
Yeah.
It's all marketing. We all want the breast and the fillet.
We do want the breast.
Yeah.
But it's all marketing.
Yeah.
Look, it's all food. If it was like, and like, okay, there's also...
Makes me want to go vegan.
There is the other factor to take into account that like all fast foods, presumably McDonald's especially, there's all kinds of other chemical shit added to it. But in terms of what the chicken they use is... And what bits of the chicken it is doesn't faze me in the least, especially when it's delicious. Comes with the jalapeno
That's
dip.
The most important part. It must be
crispy
delicious.
Crispy boys.
But I won't eat a Vienna because there's gloves and boots and old socks that go into that.
I'll eat a Vienna. I'd choose not to eat these things, but they're delicious.
Poloni.
Yeah.
Oh. We used to have that stuff when we were kids.
Employee of the week, 1978.
Lunchboxes.
We never knew when we were children. Our parents would give us hot dogs all the time.
Oh, best. Mm.
If you didn't get Poloni, you got bullied in my school.
Chuck Sharp hot dogs. Oh, man. It was the warming drawer that made them so amazing. I've thought about this.
The warming drawer that
you
never
really
got cleaned.
You are always going to be a fat kid, Gord.
Yeah, I'll do my best to have bouts of thinness, but the fat kid in me screams.
He always screams.
You're
fascinated
wins.
By a warming drawer. I mean, rotisserie chicken must be hypnotic to you.
No, I just wondered why school hot dogs were so much better than you could make them yourself. And it was because the tuck shop moms would make them in the morning and then stick them all in that big warming drawer thing, and they would kind of slow roast to perfection until break.
Is.
Yeah, if
you
you've
can't
got a big
slow
warming,
roast to Vienna.
It's the roll, and the stuff inside becomes gooey and amazing. No, the tuck shop hot dogs are are the best kind of hot dogs you get.
Just when that mustard becomes the pinnacle of his cancerousness.
No, I mean, it's probably worse for you. It's always, there's always a proportionate ratio between deliciousness and bad for you. That's how you know how bad for you something is. Taste it, and the better it tastes, the worse it
they
is
are,
for you.
They are inversely proportional.
Correctly.
That more delicious, the likelier it is
because,
to be terrible
for
you.
Yeah, from like an anthropological perspective, ancient man, fat saves your life. So anything that will add to your body fat, your body just goes, shit, I need as much of this as possible. And there wasn't much of it. Carbs and fat were rare and hard to get. Stones, twigs, fruit, berries, not avocados, like broccoli, shit that grows on the ground in a shrub form. That's everywhere, but you have to eat lank of it to stay alive. So the fatty ass of the cow and the carbohydrate-rich tuber and naturally occurring cheese, that shit, your body just goes, I must have it. So now we have abundance of that, and that's why you get fat fuckers like me.
Someone says, I'm never eating chicken nuggets again. Thank you, Gord. I never knew the procedure of chicken nuggets. Yes.
Watch the Jamie Oliver video.
Yeah, don't take Gord's word for it. Go and watch the video and show it to your children.
They'll put their hands up and go, please, can I have nuggets?
All right. What else is going on?
Okay, so... Of course, in America, they're dealing with their latest shooting massacre that involving that Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Florida that left 17 people dead. And as is typically the case, pro-gun people versus anti-gun people have been at each other's throats, with one side trying to convince the opposite side of why they're wrong. And, you know, it's what people do. But there is an interesting development that's been happening on social media through some hashtags. It's hashtag one less or one less gun. Several gun owners are now taking to social media to post videos of themselves destroying their weapons or handing them over to the police following the massacre. Law enforcement officials have reported that the suspected shooter, Nicholas Cruz, had obtained at least 10 firearms. All of them were rifles, and he used an AR-15 style semi-automatic rifle to shoot students as well as staff members at the school that he used to attend.
Imagine, like, as a PR stunt, Walmart or someone says, we're not going to sell guns.
Ooh.
Because obviously there's huge margins in guns.
Boycotted by so many people and supported by so many others.
But then you might get a lot of people buying nuggets.
They'd
like
break
extra.
Even. The customers they'd gain and the customers they'd lose, they'd break even.
Look, it would give them one of the best PR worldwide campaigns ever.
But if you had a country where you had by far the most tiger attacks out of any country, and it was also the only country where you could buy a tiger at the supermarket, you'd think maybe there's a correlation.
Clean up an aisle 7.
I mean, it would be interesting as a PR stunt because immediately in my mind I think, yo, it would backfire. Because, you know, gun culture in America, it's something that they take very seriously. I mean, in this instance, for example, it's just, you know, maybe a couple hundred, maybe a couple thousand gun owners who are now going to film themselves destroying their weapons. But if a whole Walmart with the kind of footprint that they have in that country decided to follow suit, that would be a different story altogether.
I think their market falls more into the population demographic that do love the guns.
That's right.
Joe Rogan podcast the other day had an interesting statistic that about 5 or 6 years ago, America reached a point where there are more guns in America than people.
Yes. Now, interesting. There are two things that I picked up on. First of all, there are some schools in America who are arming their teachers.
And more tigers to fight the tiger problem.
Well, you could argue that, but a lot of people saying that they would feel much safer if the teachers had guns, and if one of these students suddenly pulled out theirs, the teachers just blitzed them, because then they'd save the lives of all the other kids. And then there's another story about a knife attack in China. I don't know if you saw this, but I wish I could find the damn thing now because it was on my timeline this morning and I've been looking for it, can't find it, that about 30 people were killed in a knife attack in China. This madman started
stabbing. To kill 30 people with a knife,
if you've got a knife and no one else does, you can wreak utter havoc. They're so dangerous.
Right.
Yeah, but
so,
30 people, that's...
So someone said, well, the same logic that we're applying if you think that it's a good idea to remove guns from America... should be applied to the knife in China, and eventually you end up in a complete war of attrition because now everything, a plastic bottle that's been sharpened, a glass ampule, a
got you
pen.
I agree.
Everything becomes a dangerous weapon, and suddenly there isn't any way to stop this. It's the people. And you know, when we have car accidents or when a plane crash happens, we don't blame the plane or the car. We blame the person.
Sure, but when you get to epidemics, like if they're having weekly knife massacre sprees in China, in a country where everyone believes they have a right to a knife, and you can buy like specially designed extra killing knives that are not utility knives for like hunting or DIY, and it's like part of your God-given right to have a knife on you at all times, and actually now people are carrying 5 ninja swords and every week 30 school kids are getting knifed to death, then address the problem from that perspective.
Sure.
Like one knife massacre every decade and you don't have a knife problem, you've got a nut job problem. Like, right. That's the thing.
Okay.
Yeah, people have the right to bear arms in the States, but should you be able to buy a machine gun from a supermarket?
Sure.
A handgun with a license? Fine.
Absolutely. All right. I mean, look, I don't have a dog in this fight. I think that people
should. Your dog would get shot immediately, so it's really lucky that you don't.
Everything and everyone would get shot.
Carl would not last one round.
Here's to take us back to the discussion around meat and what part of the animal you eat. Someone says here, you guys must see what goes into Russian sausages. I was sent to the retail chain store Butchery for a few weeks, and I witnessed pig ears and whatever is lying on the floors, mechanically deboned meat, mostly from Brazil, spices and water go into those Russians.
Yeah. Yeah, I've done that as well, actually, as a part of a school project when I was 16. I had to go work in any. You had to go do 2 weeks in anything industrial, any factory. And I happened to have an in by a family member to go to a factory that processed meat, and it was horror. Well, this company actually built and refurbished and repaired the equipment, so it wasn't all day in the meat factory. But I did on more than one occasion go deliver a new animal blender and test that it worked by sticking pig bits. It's gross. It's literally everything they sweep off the floor and like chuck into this one bucket. So they hang the animal, the pig, and upside down after they've executed it, and they cut it up with like these bandsaw knives into the bits they want. During that process, lots of little bits fall on the floor and get swept up, and then they chuck certain bits. Oh, this is like, so you end up with a tub full of the stuff they know is going in, then they sweep everything off the floor and they make out of that.
Oh, that's
sorry, it's a bit horrific
delightful.
For the morning.
I
sorry,
mean, is that
it's
where
magic?
Is that where they get their flavor from?
They make Viennas, Russians, polony, ham,
basically anything that gets
pork bangers.
Anything
all
that
of it's
gets
made of that stuff
that gets squished into a casing.
Exactly. And they flavor it with this liquid, colored liquids that make it different colors. And then, like, they extra blend the polony, they extra blend the Vienna so that it's got a finer texture. Yep. That's a hairdryer go. Sorry for ruining everyone's
that was
morning
a bit
with
of
that.
That was a bit of bone that got caught in the blade. Sorry. Mm. Jesus, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
That tub of shit that
it's
you just
It's a real
put.
Thing, dude. I've watched it with my own eyes. And you're the listener that sent the message, so I've seen the same process, that he does not tell a word of a lie, he or she.
Well, that's what...
Holy mother of God!
Do you know that bacon's also naturally gray? They color it with something to make it pink.
Oh, I've heard that before,
It's like the chemical they stick in it to make it pink.
Well, I know they do that with polony.
Yeah. And Viennas and all of that.
Because polony is gray and it looks...
That slime that comes out is gray. It's all gray. If you take a pork sausage, if you take a pork banger and you empty it when it's raw, that's the stuff. That's pure that stuff.
Yeah.
Then they to make stuff like Viennas and polony and whatever, they blend it again. So you've got stages of blending to make it finer or coarser. They make pork patties out of it as well. Yeah. Gross.
Oh, God help us! This is disgusting.
Anyone
humans
change
are,
the topic? Anyone?
Humans
anyone,
are revolting.
Anyway,
we gotta go. We gotta go to a call. Someone's on the line, and they obviously want to weigh in on this stuff. So let's see who's on the line. Telephone or Skype? Are we on the phone? Okay, let's go to the phone. Hey, good morning.
Hello, Gareth.
Hey, what's up, man?
Good. I'm the guy who emailed you a while ago about wanting to be a pilot.
Yes, you sent me an email about. Let me explain to everybody, because sometimes the lines are not so good and people can't hear. So this dude emailed me a while ago. He is a young man who wants to go into aviation. It's obviously very expensive. It's very hard to get into that world, and you need a lot of money. You need the hours. The fuel is very expensive. So basically, it's like it's impossible. And I read out his email, and I sent it on to a couple of people who I thought might be able to help him. How's it going, bro?
Yeah, I have to say it hasn't gone so well. I applied it to SAA for a cabin crew training course, mm-hmm. and they have just been typical SAA. So since then, I've started a crowdfunding campaign. On ucaring.com.
What's that site? Just give it to us again. I couldn't hear you properly.
ucaring.com.
Okay.
Yeah, and the link is /smalltownwins.
Just, you know what? Send me that, and I'll put it up somewhere. It
sounded like okay. I'll send it on WhatsApp.
Yeah, it's hard. This is really hard to hear. Where are you based again?
I'm in Kroblazar, in Limpopo.
Yeah, that also doesn't help because it's not like that's the center of aviation, you know?
Yeah, that's the problem. That's the biggest problem.
Yeah. Well, listen, bro, as I said, you got to follow this dream, even if, you know, it doesn't happen immediately. And if it's something you really need to do, you want to be a pilot, then don't give up. All of this stuff is going to make it harder, obviously, but you shouldn't give up. There are always stories about people who break through that wall. And, you know, I'll try and help you where I can, but you need money. You need tons and tons of money.
Britt, did you say ucaring.com/smalltownwings?
Yes, that's the link.
Is it ucaring, Y-O-U, or ucaring, U, the letter?
Y-O-U.
So it's ucaring.com/smalltownwings to make a donation to get you able to qualify as a pilot. Rad. I'm going to give you a couple of hundred rand there. Let's see who else wants to get involved.
Careful, because Gord's bank account details often get swiped by criminals, and then you'll end up with less money than when you started. All right, man. Listen, good luck to you.
Okay, thank you so much, guys.
All right, dude. There we go. That's cool. I thought he wanted to talk about pig's ears and trotters.
No, thank God we got off that topic.
All right, let's move on. There is other stuff going on.
There is other stuff, and a couple of people have been having fun with this story. Apparently, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle rejected the advice of politicians and diplomats. Mm-hmm. And they chose to invite former U.S. President Barack Obama and his wife to their wedding. And apparently, Donald Trump is not kidding.
Yeah, but Prince Harry was friends with Barack Obama. Yeah. The two of them, they kind of did that that thing. They made that video with the Queen.
Yeah. So according to some sources, they were actually advised by people within the White House to say, we really think that you should rethink the Obama invitation. And why are you not inviting our president?
They'd have to have Cheetos at their buffet table if they invited Trump.
No, here's what's going to happen.
This is according to some reports. But then again, hello. We live in the world of fake news.
Hello, Prince Harry. This is Donald. I just want to tell you, I always thought you weren't Prince Charles's son. And now I know for sure you're a fake. You're crooked. You're obviously not a real prince. I'm going to prove it. You've got ginger hair. Which other royals have ginger hair? There isn't one. I have ginger hair. You're my child. I had sex with Princess Diana. It's time I told the truth. You've got to invite me because I'm your real father.
Yeah, okay.
You know what Trump is like? He takes everything personally.
Yeah,
it's probably only because Barack and they had like something in common to talk about. Like, I don't know. Books.
Well, they did that. They did that sports stuff together. It was during the Paralympics or the Special Olympics or one of those, and there was a British team versus the American team, and Obama was. He made a PSA, a public service announcement about the American team, and then Harry made one with the Queen, and they kind of had this mock rivalry. So the two know each other.
Hmm.
A royal source noted that Harry and Meghan want to do things their own way, despite aides advising them to hold back on the invitation. It was feared that such a move would anger Trump and would rock diplomatic ties with his country. Others, however, felt that nothing will harm diplomatic ties more than Trump's own behavior, so his anger over a wedding was deemed to be less important.
He's just a dickhead.
Watch him take it personally, though. Watch.
Obviously. And it won't be that he wasn't invited. Like, I wonder how many royal weddings and birthday parties and whatever all over the world happen, you know, like various monarchies that aren't necessarily British and things he just doesn't get invited to that just don't faze him in the slightest, but invite Barack Obama. And then it's a serious problem.
And you should be able to invite whoever the hell you want to your wedding. Yeah.
Yeah. Although, with this wedding, the royal's wedding, I mean, yes, you should be able to invite whoever you want, but don't you think that there's also like expectations of, well, we need to have this person from that country and look, this one from that.
Sure. Maybe with Prince William, because he's going to be king one day, but Harry's like the spare. Harry doesn't need the whole royal treatment.
He's
on
the
this.
Fun one.
Yeah. He's the second son, doesn't matter as much.
You're not that spare if Barack Obama's coming to your wedding, but yeah, I take your point.
I reckon there's a whole team just in charge of the guest list that are going to be inviting people that Harry and Markle don't have a say in. They're just going to be like, okay, fine, whatever.
I think it's just a case of like that
King
guy's a
so
dick.
And so from whichever place needs to be there, then fine, have him there.
You just call her Markle.
Did I say that?
Yeah, you said Harry and Markle.
Oh, sorry. Meghan.
You just don't necessarily want a dickhead at your wedding. I mean, he's going to make a scene.
I'm the most important person at this wedding. I'm way richer than everybody else here.
When you, like, you know, you got that person who gets drunk and whatever, and like after or during the speeches stands up and like tings on the glass.
No!
Like,
I just want to say a few words.
Yeah. I've got something really, really, really tremendously important to say.
We do the best speeches.
Let me tell you, I guarantee you this will be the best speech.
And then he will. He'll say, I'm the richest person, and the Queen will go,
ding, ding, ding.
J.K. Rowling from across the room will be like, sorry.
Actually, I own Canada. What have you got again?
That'll happen. All right. We got to wrap it up for this morning. Thank you, Gord.
Yeah, what a jewel.
Thank you very much, Ben. Thank you, Mubs. And we will see you tomorrow morning between 6 and 9 for another bumper edition. And we've got a great interview. I had a discussion with DJ Sabu, which I think you may have missed. You know, there's so much stuff here. It's why we're replaying a lot of stuff. It's why we're doing so many fresh, new interviews. But there's so much that you can go onto cliffcentral.com and type in on the search any name of any person in South Africa that you're interested in. Chances are really good that you'll find we've talked to them at some point. And just yesterday, I spent some time with one of my favorite comedians, Kagiso Lediga. We'll play that out for you later on this week. Some amazing people who are in the worlds of politics, finance, of leadership, of science, of sport. They're all there. And you can find the discussions with all of them by going onto cliffcentral.com and just looking it up. Amazing stuff. It'll fill your day with interesting, informative, entertaining, empowering, and inspiring content. It's all right there. The KFC disaster in the UK is getting out of hand. Unable to get chicken into their outlets, the fast food chain has had to turn customers away with horrific consequences. It got so bad that Adele is even writing a song about it. Cyril Ramaphosa has entrusted Manusi Kigaba to go ahead with the budget speech this week. Kigaba was reluctant to do so amongst rumors that he will be replaced, but Ramaphosa helped him unlock a few levels in Candy Crush. So his loyalties are renewed, and now he's ready to surge ahead by telling South Africans they're about to get taxed a whole lot more. Finally, Peter de Villiers is claiming that SARU have been sabotaging his career ever since they let him go as Springbok coach. He found it strange that nobody called him back into the interviews, especially when he couldn't even get a job as a rugby pundit on SABC. That was the final straw for him, because the SABC will take anyone. All right, coming up, my discussion with DJ Sabu. I hope you're ready for a big day on cliffcentral.com. Stick around for that and a whole lot more.
This is cliffcentral.com.